Thank the Lord for the great privilege to be in this meeting. I guess it has been about 2 years ago since we have come. And I want to say that I still love the truth as much as I did as 2 years ago. I want to say that I love the Church of God. The message we have this morning is to the Church of God. So we desire your prayers that the Lord will bless us and bless His Word. I wonder if you would know what I say to my husband just before I get up. And it doesn't matter where, even in our congregation, the last thing I say to him is, I need your prayers. I really depend on him. And I thank the Lord for my husband because he is a support to the ministry. But I desire your prayers too. I would like to begin with a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. I'm going to be looking at verses 2 through 5 and verse 7, taking parts of those verses. And it says this, unto the church of God, to them that are called to be saints. Taking parts of those, if you excuse the way I skip around a little bit. Grace and peace unto you. I thank my God on your behalf for the grace of God given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, that ye come behind in no gift. I like that. There are many introductions that Paul used similar to this, addressing the saints, Church of God. I believe the Lord wants us to feel a part of His body this morning. I believe we feel that. I feel it.
Amen.
I like feeling a part, don't you?
Amen.
Feel that you have your place. God is so good. It's so encouraging to know that God is still on His throne. If I may, I'm going to describe our prayer meeting after the election. That day, the Lord had inspired me with that phrase of song, God is still on His throne. But no one had the words. And so then Sister Julie, she said, well, the Lord gave her a song of He's Still God. And our services were so blessed that night. Well, someone took their iPhone and looked up the words. So now we have the internet in our service. But we sang that song, God is still on His throne. And then we did the song, He's Still God. We have nothing to fear when God is still on His throne. Thank the Lord. We're encouraged this morning. And we believe God still has all things under control. Well, as we want to continue now for months, those that are here that are from our congregation will be familiar with some of the beginnings of this. I've had a burden for months. And saying things like this, Acts 5 and 20. Parts of it I say. It says, go and stand and speak to the people all the words of this life. And then the Lord has inspired me for months with the scripture in Ecclesiastes, which speaks about the words of the wise, and they are as goads and nails. So we've used that frequently just in introducing whatever direction that the Lord was giving for the messages. And I always try to remind them of what this word goads, what it means. It really is just simply a stick that directs cattle and urges them on. And so when I think of it in terms of the Church of God, I see that the Lord wants to challenge us, and He wants to urge us on, and He wants to motivate us. Those are very important factors in preaching the Word of God and ministering to His people. He's given a command that we feed the flock, that we feed the Church of God, and we have a challenge in that. And I believe that the Lord is fully able to keep His body,
amen,
the body of Christ. I believe it. Well, then we always think about this word nails, and nails are something that are used to construct and hold together all that we even see right here in this building. And those of you that know, we have been building, we built a house, and we didn't, somebody else did. But we observed all of the phases of it and enjoyed those phases. But one thing that I did notice, it's not, those nails weren't put up there with just a hammer and one nail in those joints. It's done with a power gun now, and oftentimes for those joints it might have 10 or 12 nails, because they want it to stay right there. They want that joint to not move. And I see that with the Lord. You may hear 10 or 12 messages of the same thing. That's when the Lord is nailing it down, see. He wants that doctrine, that truth, to stay right there. And so that's why He says the words of a wise is to motivate and then to fix that principle, that truth, that teaching, that for every generation,
amen,
it will be the same. Thank the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Well, then as we pass from that thought, we also think of Romans 10 and 18, a part of it, and I have it written down here how I want to say it. It says this. It says, have they not heard? And the answer is given, yes, verily, their sound went unto all of the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. I am confident that the Church of God, that the teachings of His Word have gone out. And you and I that are here this morning, we are not an ignorant people. We are not walking in darkness. We may be surrounded with darkness, but we are not walking in darkness. By the very spirit of the meeting this morning, it is a witness that light is come. And so the word has gone out. From a child, most of us have heard this taught and preached. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Aren't we blessed? I've told this many times, but my Aunt Lizzie, who was more like my grandmother, she was my great aunt, she kept me when I was young a lot while my mother worked. And I've always said she was the one that taught me to love the truth. as a child. And as I grew older, and I listened to what was preached when I was a child, and I understood quite a bit, enough that when my parents were following those things, I knew it. And I would say to myself, when I grow up, I want to be a saint all the way. Well, I grew up and didn't necessarily follow it for many years. But there came a time that I gave my heart and my life, and I never turned back. I wanted to be a saint all the way. Believe the Lord is calling for that today. Saints, let's be saints all the way. Let's not live on the edge. Let's not just be part way. Let's be saints all the way. Well, the other part of my burden for the last number of months has been a topic such as this. I have a burden for the church to be a healthy, productive, successful body of Christ in the earth.
Amen.
So most of the messages have been tended toward how does that happen. So this morning it's another message, and I want to emphasize this word, successful. You know what that means? It has a suffix of full on the end. We can just simply take that word success and say full of success. I believe the Lord is calling for His church, for His saints, to be full of success in this day. We don't have to, as it's already been proclaimed here, we don't have to worry about the future. We can have that song. See? We can have the good report and believe it.
Yes.
I'm thinking of another scripture that says, who hath believed our report?
Yes.
Don't you want to believe the report?
Yes.
Absolutely. So we want to talk to you this morning about a productive and successful body of Christ or church. You will. I'd like to begin with some thoughts out of 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, it's Colossians. I had it turned there. Colossians, the first chapter, I'm sorry. I'm going to be looking at verses 2 through 4. And verses 9 through 13, just a little part there. This was a prayer that Paul prayed for the church of God. And I believe it can fit for us today. And I won't be reading entirely everything, but I want us to get the essence of it. And it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, verse 3, we give thanks to God and praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. That's a wonderful thing to hear about. Do you ever hear about faith that someone has? Does it excite you? Not with an earthly excitement, but a spiritual excitement. I want to tell you today, we need faith.
Yes.
I'm not going to preach on the gifts this morning, but that was one of the messages. For a healthy, successful body of Christ in the earth, we need all of the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church of God. He desires it.
Yes.
He wants you and me to covet earnestly the best gifts. It's the only place in His Word that He says that you can covet anything. And so you can look into the Word of God and find out what are those gifts. I have a testimony about that, but I'm not going to go into all of the details. But the Lord dealt with me, and I was so taken aback that He was offering me to seek for a gift. And I knew the gift. And He said, for it to be hid among the stuff. In other words, it wasn't to make a reputation. He doesn't want you and me to have a reputation, see?
Yes.
So I was seeking for these gifts secretly, not even telling my husband. And the Lord began to work in some of these things. And then one Wednesday night, I had no intentions of addressing the congregation and telling them. I thought I needed to have it hid. And on a Wednesday night, the Lord just caused me to spill it out. And then it gave the message. He's desiring this for His church to be successful. And we need it today. We need the gift of healing. We need the gift of faith. We need the gift of miracles. We need every one of the gifts to be operating in the church of God. That's a message all in itself. But when you and I hear of it, what does it do to us? The same as it did to Paul. And it says, and for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, verse 5. And then down to 9, it says, we do not cease to pray for you that ye might be filled with all knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Yes.
Saints, we need it.
Yes, we do. Amen.
We need to be filled with all knowledge and with all wisdom and spiritual understanding that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge. That's what we need.
Amen.
Paul prayed for the church this way. We can accept this prayer and say, this is for the church today.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Then it said, strengthened with all might to His glorious power, according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. Now this is just a little foundation that we want to lay this morning. I hope it will maybe stay in your mind a little bit as we proceed, because this is not the message. It also says for us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Then my mind went to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And there is an admonition for us all in this part. We're looking at verses 14 through 16. And it says that we henceforth be no more children. Do you know it's time for us to grow up? It's time for us to become strong. He says in another place, quit you like men. Be strong. And that's not just to the men. That is for us all. He's calling for us to be strengthened in the power of His might. And I believe these services are for the purpose of strengthening the body of Christ. We're not to be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There are winds of doctrine that are blowing at this time. There is a doctrine that is steadfast and solid.
Amen.
And that's what he's saying here. get established in the teachings of the Word of God. And then he says, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto Him in all things. So, these are some things we wanted to felt impressed of the Lord to admonish us this morning, that we not be carried about with wind of doctrine, that we have be filled with knowledge of His will, of wisdom and spiritual understanding, and walk worthy. These are things that we need this morning. Our thought this morning comes from a single word, edify. I believe what the enemy would like to do is to accuse us. The enemy has even caused some of these words to be said. Well, you go to camp meeting and you just preach to each other. You go to prayer meeting and you're just feeding one another. And when that was said and I heard that, and I thought, well, are we right or are we wrong? So I had to go into the Word of God. Lord, should we be feeding one another? This morning I'm going to proclaim to you we have to. We cannot go out. We cannot be the missionary. We cannot even witness unless we have first been fed.
That's right. Amen.
This is the will of the Father.
Yes, that's right.
He even said in His Word that He chose the foolishness of this thing right here to save those that believe. That means those that are already saved. To give them the challenge, the motivation, to nail it down.
Amen.
See? This word edify, what does it mean? Somebody want to say?
Build up.
That's exactly what the word edify means. To build up the church of God. That's what we do when we come together, do we not? Is that what we've done here today and last night and the other services? Has it built up your spirit? Has it been a challenge to you? Has it nailed something down?
Yes. Amen.
Do you feel the strength of it?
Thank the Lord.
Yes. A portion of the scripture, 1 Corinthians. Now we're going to give you the word so that you know it's not just my word. 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, the latter part of that says this. Let all things be done unto edifying.
Yes.
All things.
That's right.
1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Desire your prayers that the Lord will bless the word this morning.
Yes.
Because I want us to go away and have no guilt in coming and edifying one another. The 5th chapter, and I'm going to look at verse 14. It starts out here and it says, now we exhort you, brethren. What does it mean to exhort? Anybody know what it means to exhort? It means to urge. It means to plead. It means for us to entreat. So he says, I exhort you, brethren. Warn them. It says here it's to warn those that are unruly, which are those that refuse to obey. We are to warn. But do you know what? We need to warn one another. We need to warn the saints that they sin not. The scripture says that. warn the righteous that they sin not. And then it says, comfort the feeble-minded. Who are the feeble-minded? What is it to be feeble-minded? Someone have a thought? We sometimes think of a feeble-minded person as getting old and doesn't have a sharp mind. I wonder if it's maybe more than that. Faint-hearted. That's wonderful. I like that. Faint-hearted. What? Weak in understanding. Now, we're to comfort people that are weak in understanding and are faint-hearted. We have an obligation now. It tells us to do it right here. So we have to comfort those that are... We look around and we say, oh, they're just not measuring up. What about that?
Comfort.
They're faint-hearted. Or maybe they just don't see it. They don't understand it altogether. But let's be comforting
Amen.
To those among us that they will grow up. We could have a temporary feebleness of mind. We could become faint-hearted when we may have been strong. We may have let some things slip, in other words. And you know, coming and hearing the word preached helps us to collect those things and reestablish those things. And the Spirit of the Lord, through His conviction and through the anointing of His Spirit, oh, the word also says, it says, I wound, but I heal. You and I, if we take this thing and take it into our own hands and we think we've got to go straighten these people out, let me tell you something in my ministry. It happened a number of years ago, many years ago as a matter of fact. And I was in another congregation, not our own, and I saw with my eyes some things that needed to be straightened out. And the Lord gave me a message. And I went there for the Sunday morning service, and I was nervous, but I was going to preach it. And I thought, they need to be told. When we got down to pray, in a moment of time, the Lord took the very same message, but He said this to me, you don't know where they are faithful. I changed the message according to how the Spirit of the Lord led me. I preached it not after the sight of my eyes, not addressing the things that I thought they needed to be told. It had a positive effect. After the message, this one got up. This is what I want to do. Now, would it have been that way if I would have followed my thoughts? The Lord has a place of comfort for His people and a way to lead them, a way for them to grow up, a way for them to overcome faint-heartedness or places where they have slipped. Thank the Lord. And I have seen that congregation grow. Support the weak. Didn't Jesus say we would always have the weak among us? He did. There will be those that may, through circumstances of life, through different events have happened in, when they were growing up, yet God wants you and me to comfort them. Comfort the weak. Be patient toward all men. I find this is a very challenging scripture. This word comfort, what does it mean to comfort? What do you think? What?
Console.
What else? Comfort is a big word. Take away pain. What else?
Share.
To what?
Share.
To share? That can comfort. What? What?
Sympathize.
Encourage. This is a big word. Now, we're all challenged. We've got to do this, see? But I'm thinking this morning that the way that we are able, there is a way for us to comfort. And a lot of times it's because we've gone through something and now we're going through it and now we're able to comfort. Isn't there a little statement like this that about walking in a person's shoes that you're able to understand them when you've passed through that thing? Like Sister Karen, she will be able to comfort someone that goes through the same thing she has. Sister Doral, she comforted Sister Roberta because now she tasted her victory, her song. When you and I pass through these things, the Lord wants us to use them. He wants us, when we gain that place of victory, He wants us to use that to help someone else. To understand when they pass through those things.
Amen.
That's how life is.
That's
how it is. It's to understand. Oh, I want to tell you, the Lord has comfort for His people. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And verse 11 says this. Now remember, we're making sure we're doing what the Bible says. So we're not feeling guilty when someone says, oh, you're just preaching to each other. You're just feeding one another. We have to do it. I think Sister Roberta even said that last night. In one of the exhortations, she said, we need to edify each other. The 11th verse says this, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another even as also ye do. I like this. I believe the Lord wants us to be patient with each other. I believe He is working to bring us all to perfection.
Yes, He is.
He wants to perfect those things that concern us.
Amen.
Let's go to another one. Romans, the 11th chapter, 14th chapter, rather. And verse 19. And it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And then it's a compound sentence, so we can start out with that same beginning. Let us therefore follow after the things wherewith one may edify another. So, I need to build you up in the Spirit. You need to build me up. You need to comfort me. I need to comfort you. So there's another scripture that tells us that. Let's go now to 2 Corinthians. First chapter. We're going to look at 3 and 4. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Thank the Lord. Mercy. Isn't mercy wonderful?
Yes.
Has He had mercy on you?
Yes.
He turns around and He says, you be merciful. That's what He says. This is not a compromising message.
No.
It is not compromising the truth. I remember one time, number of years ago, an individual that had been raised this way, and desired, well, they came to me at Monarch, and they said, I want to be saved, but I want to understand it for myself, not because Mom and Dad did. I want to have the convictions for myself. And I said this. I said, we will do it. I said, our congregation will give you space. We'll give you room to gain that conviction for yourself. I went back to the congregation, and on Wednesday night, this person wasn't there. And so I talked to the congregation, and I said it like this. This individual wants to come, and they want to gain their convictions for themselves. And I have told this person that we will allow them to do that. The congregation said, yes. But, I said, that doesn't mean that we let down. We don't change the standards. Because somebody else may not be understanding it and may not be dressing just the way that we might feel they should. But we're going to give space. We're going to give room. I believe the Lord is pleased with that. I would like to have told you that it worked, but it did not. But the congregation did the right thing. There is no charge against the congregation in this event that happened. That's mercy. We desire each one. I remember our daughter when she got saved. She got saved there in Alabama at a meeting. I didn't pray with her. Someone else was. And I was sitting back a ways, and she took off her rings and she took off her watch and laid them on the altar. And I'm sitting back there saying this. Yes, she knows. She knows that she cannot wear those things. She had been away from the Lord so long. You lose things when you get away from God. You lose that vision. You lose a perception of what's right and wrong. Well, we went by Arkansas and on our way home, and she had on her wedding band. And I, Lord, what about this? So I said, well, Teresa, what about your wedding ring? Now, Mother, you don't need to talk to me about that. I took off my diamond. This just shows that I'm married. And you know, the Lord gave me something to say to her. And I told her about Saul, how that he was given a commandment to destroy it all. But when he came back, he brought some things with him. And the prophet said, what is this I hear? What about these sheep? And his answer was, I have done the will of the Lord, when he had not. And then I told her about David. And when the prophet addressed his failure, what was his response? I am the man. My answer was this. You know, I can't give you grace to take that off. But I said, when God shows you, he'll give you grace. And I said, you be like David then. You say, that's me.
That's right.
And I left it. And you know, the Spirit of the Lord is the one that brought her to the place. It wasn't Mama.
Yes. Thank you. Amen.
It was the Spirit of the Lord. Actually, we were down here at this meeting. And she had come. And she didn't have it on. And I said, well, Teresa, what about your wedding ring? She says, well, Mother, I really don't understand it fully, but I tried to think of one saint that had it on. And I couldn't think of one. So she gave it up. But there was grace in it. It wasn't me intimidating her to do that. Mercy. We all need to have mercy. When the Spirit of the Lord wounds, it heals. It is able to do a work that no man can do. But if I set my hand to it, I can do great damage. So this says, now where am I? Looks like 1 Corinthians maybe, or 2 Corinthians, I'm verse 3. That's where I was. Now we go to verse 4. It's speaking about the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you see how it works? Have you been comforted? Make sure you comfort somebody else that needs comfort. Understand them. Listen. Don't push them down. Build them up, that they may be able to get established also. Remember where you've come from. Remember your past. Remember what you've been through. And let it help you then to have that mercy and that comfort. Another scripture was Isaiah 40 and 1, and it's just going to give you a part of it, the first part of it. It's a command. And it says this, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Don't you think there's some credulous to that scripture too? We need to comfort one another. 2 Corinthians, now the second chapter. And we're going to be looking at 5 and 7 and 8. And it says, now this is changing just a little bit of thought, but it still fits. And it's speaking about someone that has caused grief. Have we ever met with anyone that caused grief, even in the Church of God? It says, but if any have caused grief, verse 6 says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, verse 7, so that contrarywise, on the other way, ye ought rather to forgive him, and what? Comfort him. Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. And then verse 8 says, wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. Love is very important. There is a love that's even greater than your own brother. And he wants us to have that kind of love. I remember when our daughter was taken, and I was able to go to the funeral in a, well, it was really a cab, but I was still in a wheelchair. And my sister was with me, and maybe some others, came back to the hospital rather than going to the cemetery. And I will never forget what my sister said. And she was raised this way, but she went so far away from it that she had lost her vision. But what she saw was the love of the saints. Don't you know love will win? Love will win. Love will affect. Comfort will work. To edify each other when we come to prayer meeting. Do you feed off of the testimonies? Oh, I do too. I tell the congregation that. I feed when the children get up and say their little words. I love it. It just does something for me for the rest of the week. Oh, this is what the Lord wants for a healthy, a productive, successful body of Christ in the earth. This is what we're doing here. We're edifying each other. We're comforting each other. We don't know what's out there before us. We know not what a day will bring forth. We're all going to leave here after Sunday afternoon. We're all going back to our normal routines of life. And things are going to start happening. I'm not prophesying. We don't know. But can we feast off of what we've had here? Can the comfort and the edification and the building up and the mercy that we feel and the love that we feel, will it help us? It will.
Yes, it will.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
I'd like to close with passage over in Genesis, the 50th chapter. I love this. This is about Joseph and his brethren. And their father had died. And the brethren came to Joseph after their father died and said that their father had told them to say this. And you know, maybe he thought, well, he's treated them well while I was alive, but what will he do when I'm gone? And so they came and said this. They sent a messenger saying, verse 16, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now this is what they're saying, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept. He probably thought, I thought I had already proved this. I'm going to have to prove it again. And his answer was this. He said, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." And he says, "Now therefore," verse 21, "fear ye not, I will nourish you." Don't you like that? I'll nourish you. I believe that's what the Lord is calling for us to have, the spirit of Joseph. Even when those that do us wrong, disappoint us, offend us, I believe God has something that He wants us to be able to turn right around and do as Joseph did here. I will nourish you, not only you, but your little ones also. And he did what? He comforted them. And he spake kindly unto them. Thank the Lord. I believe that's all that the Lord wants us to say. There are many, many scriptures that confirm that we need to edify each other, that we need to be a comfort to each other. We need to love. And what it will produce is a healthy, productive, and successful body of Christ in the earth in our day, 2012. I want you to pray that I will follow this myself. I know that we're all human, but what we need the Holy Spirit. And we need the Spirit to minister unto us that we may be able to minister to others. Thank the Lord. I love the Church of God. I love the Word of God. I love the truth. I want to be a saint all the way. Accept that as a challenge. Let it motivate you. Let it nail down some things in your life. It's been said here, Brother Michael said it, that it took just one person at a time. That's what this will do. Each one of us doing it. And then it will be collectively.
That's right.
And it will work. Pray for me.